Just Curious.
Welcome to Just Curious Media. This is That's a Crime. I'm Jason Connell.
And I'm Sal Rodriguez.
All right, Sal, we are back for another crime update.
I like
it's kind
it.
Of a hybrid
I
episode.
Like updates. I really like updates, personally and professionally.
You've said this to me. And we were waiting. Some of these more recent crimes that we've covered in the last so many episodes, those done in 2021, 2022, bound and determined to have an update. And this was one of them. We knew it at the time that it was looming because when we did the episode, you know, he hadn't been, this person in particular, hadn't been sentenced or even convicted yet. Yes. So, and that crime, the one we're back doing today, is an update of the true crime story of the man dismembered parents for discovering he didn't work at SpaceX in 2021. A real, what would you call
it's
this?
Gruesome.
Well, gruesome for sure.
Gruesome, tragic, clickbaitable. And Jason, I had forgotten, I remembered he killed his parents. I'd forgotten that he dismembered them. I just shut that out of my memory.
Yeah. Well, I saw SpaceX and killed parents, and that was like, hold on, what's this story? And that made me do the deep dive. And you're right. The dismemberment just takes it to this whole other gruesome, despicable level. And then to read it, it was a tough one. It was definitely a tough one, but we needed to cover it. And there is new information. Yeah. I mean, he was caught, so there's that.
Sure.
But we'll do a quick little mini recap and explain the new information we have. But first, Sal, before we do so, a word from our sponsor.
Let's do it.
Support for That's a Crime is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming and offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, and with this exclusive offer, you'll get
20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code That's a Crime at manscaped.com.
Very good. So back when we did this episode, it was That's a Crime, Season 1, Episode 24. And we did our deep dive on this thing, and it was a shocker to us both. Because, well, A, what he did to his parents, not only killed his parents, dismembered them, hid the bodies, tried to cover it up. He was 23 at the time, and all because he was living a lie, living at home during the pandemic. Claimed he was going to college, is going to move to Florida with his girlfriend and go work at SpaceX. I have to say this, Sal, since his plan was to move to Florida, and coincidentally, when I read this crime, I had just traveled from Massachusetts to Florida, and we were talking, and on the YouTube live version of episode 24, we got... Our wires got a little crossed because I went back and listened. Now, for the edited version, it's not in there. But on the YouTube Live, I left a disclaimer because the double talk of Florida, me traveling and the fact that he was going to go to Florida, all of a sudden we're like, yeah, is this case being tried in Florida? Yeah, and I was like, well, I'll just go down there to the courthouse. And we forgot that this whole thing is really in Wisconsin.
Yes.
And so that was just a little thing there. I put a disclaimer on YouTube Live. If we make a mistake or there's an error in the YouTube Live, we don't edit it. I just put a disclaimer in the text and it is what it is. So that is the case. This whole terrible crime is in Wisconsin. He's tried in Wisconsin. And we have information on that trial.
Yeah, I'm loving the updates because, you know, all of us will read an interesting story, an interesting crime, hear about it, watch videos, watch news clips, and then you're like, oh, that's interesting. And then that's it. And then that's it. You never hear anything again. You don't, what happened to the person? Are they still in jail? That's a thing for me. Are they still in jail? Is this person who did something so horrific, are they still in jail? And you know what you will often find if you follow along oftentimes? You'll see a lot of these people who commit horrific crimes. And by horrific, I mean like stuff like this, dismembering, cold-blooded murder, can sometimes be walking the streets again. You would never think. And I first discovered this when I first heard the story about this guy in Canada.
Oh, you told me.
A poor young gentleman was on a bus in Canada. The guy next to him went completely overboard. I don't even know. You know, you want to use the word like crazy or insane. I don't know if that's so popular today, but the guy flipped out, killed his passenger next to him, chopped off his head, began to eat his flesh. It was one of the most horrific crimes you've ever heard of. And so you would imagine that guy who perpetrated such a thing would be in prison for the rest of his life. No, Absolutely not. I learned that that very person who committed such a horrific act on a bus in Canada is now walking around free. So you start to follow some of these cases and you unfortunately learn that some of these people will be walking amongst us. I recently learned about a case of a 17-year-old girl stabbed her mother 79 times, killed her, of course. She's sentenced to an insane asylum to whatever degree or place. And now she's out again. They let her out on unsupervised visits because she has an ankle collar.
Yeah.
And she can go, I don't know, go to the market. I don't know what she's doing. She's out there. These people who commit these things can potentially be out there. And that drives me kind of crazy.
Yeah. That's why you want the update. Safety mechanism.
Exactly. I want to know they're still behind bars. That's what I want to know.
And where's their location? Okay. Yeah. Well, this... You'll be happy to hear what happens here with Halderson, but thanks for sharing. Yeah, it is scary. And this person did something that you can't even imagine. And these types of people, but someone who can do this can do it to his own parents, mind you. So what's a stranger?
Yeah.
And if they do it early enough or any time in their life, they're likely to do it again. He perpetrated this attack on his parents one at a time. Killed one, waited for the other one to come home. His mother killed her and then went through this dismemberment. And then all this evidence was found. In fact, I read that the judge, you know, the only good thing to come out of this was the fact that law enforcement was so good and swift in their discovery of this. And they found him and they got the arrest. But the evidence was mounting. I highly recommend checking out the episode that we covered this in. Like I said, season one, episode 24, the same title, but we just put update after it. So this is the update, Sal. On March 17th, 2022, St. Patrick's Day, mind you, Chandler Halderson was found guilty on all counts relating to the killings of his parents, Bart and Krista Halderson, and was sentenced to life in prison without possibility of parole. Good news there, Sal.
Rest in peace, Bart and Krista.
Absolutely.
You know what? I would imagine when you go down the rabbit hole of true crimes, you'll often find that good people are killed. I mean, it's one thing if you're a scoundrel and you're killed. That's another thing. Good folk killed. And I would imagine these are probably like great supportive parents. Maybe the parents I should have even had. You know what I mean?
They're very supportive. He was living at home. They believe this ruse. And we can only speculate. And we do that on the episode. But eventually he was confronted by somebody because they caught on to this lie. And it's a lie, Sal. Kids, young people make mistakes. They were just going to probably, bring the hammer down, not literally, figuratively, and work with him. And how do you ground a 23-year-old? But whatever it is, it didn't warrant them being killed and killed in this fashion. And think of the ripple effects with the family and anybody connected to these wonderful people. And it's tragic. There's no getting that back. There's no do-overs. And unfortunately, you need to throw the book at someone like this, despite his age or whatever, because of the heinous act that he caused. But there's more news. Halderson will also receive the maximum penalties for the other charges, which will be served concurrently. And Sal, please shed light on those additional charges.
Halderson received 3 years for the 2 counts of false information in a kidnapping, 7 years and 6 months for the 2 counts of mutilating a corpse, his own parents, and 7 years and 6 months for 2 counts of hiding a corpse, again, his own parents.
Yeah.
Oh, terrible.
So at least, I mean, what does this mean after life? They just pile on just because of the severity. It just lengthens the sentence. I don't know, Sal, if this guy ever sees the light of day, unlike the two people, the two stories you just shared. So I hope that's the case. I hope life in prison without parole means such, especially with all these additional things. But I don't know. What's your take on that?
Life in prison without the possibility of parole? Okay, so there we go. So we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, it sounds pretty, it's not going to slip
final,
all of a sudden. Yeah.
Right? It sounds final. Life in prison. When you add that without the possibility of parole, okay, there you go. So hopefully this guy will not be walking the streets among us.
Hopefully. Now, Halderson has 20 days to file for an appeal, and I read that he does plan to do so. In fact, he did finally speak, and here's what he said, and then I'll kind of get back to that. But prior to the judge reading his decision, Halderson said, "It's not that I don't have feelings. It's that I was warned not to show them due to the scrutiny of this case. I don't even know what that means. Did whoever was representing him tell him to like just be quiet and look stoic? I don't know. But what I did know is I read also that he kind of made a plea like, I'm going to go for an appeal if there's any attorney out there that will represent me. So, you know, that's where he's at. He's asking for anybody to come help him on an appeal, of which, Sal, I cannot see anything being overturned with the evidence that they found.
Well, an appeal, I think in this case, would only imply maybe a reduced sentence. Like, in other words, he's still going to be found guilty, but maybe they won't give him as harsh of a sentence. Maybe he will get parole in 25 years. Maybe.
Well, maybe he'll get a different judge because this particular judge.
Yeah. That girl I just mentioned who was 17 and maybe served 5-6 years for killing her own mother.
Her age, though, yeah.
Yeah, but like 17 to 23 makes a big difference, I guess. But
yeah.
So yeah, so this guy, also one thing I've learned about these types of cases is that apparently it's a big deal how you are in the courtroom. I mean, the courtrooms can be quite theatrical. So like if you are up there on a murder charge, you want to show remorse. You want to show you are sorry. And that will sway the judge and that will sway the jury, supposedly. To me personally, I don't necessarily think that a person's remorse in the courtroom should have much of a bearing on the crime that they committed. You committed this crime. You got to pay the penalty. The fact that you're sorry for it is beside the point. That's great that you're sorry for it, but you still have to pay the penalty. But apparently how you are in the courtroom, your behavior, your mannerisms are all up for scrutiny.
Well, if he didn't say anything until that moment, I'm sure that he comes across like a stone cold killer. I mean, that's a scary demeanor in the courtroom. Well, then the prosecutor also stated that during all the jail calls and messages with detectives that prosecutors listened to, there was never a moment where Halderson had mourned his parents' death.
There you go.
Very unusual.
They want to see remorse. The court wants to see remorse. The jury, whoever, the judge, everybody wants to know that you're sorry, and knowing that you're sorry can help your case.
Right.
Traditionally, anyway.
Now, the first victim impact statement was from the fiance of Halderson's brother, Mitchell Halderson. Think about this. Mitchell loses his parents just like Chandler did, but Mitchell, what did he do? His parents are gone. His brother takes them away. His fiance knows them. And Sal, why don't you read what she had to say? Now, it's not a quote. It's kind of like said what she says, if you will. Why don't you take what she had to share?
She said that she had lost her future mother and father-in-law and that she would miss them every day. She also stated that both her and her fiancé would be uncomfortable if the court allowed Chandler Halderson the opportunity to have parole. Talk about understatement of the year. Uncomfortable? Yeah. Really, I think it would be a whole lot more than that.
Well, I like that they took that stance. They do not want to see Chandler out walking the streets, coming by, all that trust, it's gone. You think you're nervous on no updates happening? Could you imagine them like, get this guy? They probably want to see him get executed.
Well, because also, it surely crosses your mind, if my own brother can kill our own parents, could they not maybe potentially kill their own siblings? I mean, what is this person capable of?
Well, something's wrong with my brother or my brother-in-law. Something's wrong with this person, and they're scared for their own life. So Halderson's grandmother also wrote a victim impact statement, which was read by prosecutors. And she said, this was her quotes, "I love him even though what he did was horrific." I get it. Grandmothers have a lot of love, much like a parent. She also hoped he would find a trade or craft while he was in prison, and that his parents would not want him to be incarcerated for life. Yeah, all probably true, right? But they wouldn't want him to be, even though he killed them. But I've never actually knew that was a term, victim impact statement.
I was going to mention that. I'd never heard of that before. Maybe that's a newer thing. You know, there's been a movement in our lifetime about victims' rights, the voice of the victims, and that's becoming more prominent in courtrooms today. Yeah, victim impact statement. Very interesting.
Yeah. Well, now, Judge John Hyland explained that on top of the offenses themselves, Chandler Halderson's actions to hide the crime makes them even worse. Ultimately, for the safety of the public, Hyland ruled that he could not give Halderson the chance to receive extended supervision. And then he goes on to say this, so go ahead.
I don't like telling his grandmother that I'm not able to give her the relief that she's asking for out of her love for her grandson. I cannot do that. I have to, for this sentencing, ensure that the only time Mr. Halderson comes back to the community is to have the privilege of a burial that he denied his parents. Wow. Mm. So he's even going into the future of Chandler Halderson's own demise. Wow.
Yeah, it's only 24 now, you know, 23 at the time of the killing and dismemberment. Many years ahead, which is crazy, I think, you know, he probably could live another 50, 60 years.
Sure.
And yeah, he's thinking, okay, down the road, you're not leaving there. You're leaving there in a box.
Wow.
Unless there's an appeal. And like you said, maybe he gets a reduced sentence.
Well, you know what's interesting? Because just to go back to that girl, by the way, forgive me, I don't remember her name, but that girl that stabbed her mother 79 mm-hmm. times was convicted, but they brought up insanity. There was some sort of insanity plea.
Right.
She was convicted
right.
under the insanity, which just goes to show you, I mean, every courtroom's different. Every jurisdiction, municipality is going to be different because this could have been an insanity plea.
Absolutely.
And if it were an insanity plea, maybe he could have served 10 years and then been out on medication like a lot of these other people are. I wonder why there was not an insanity plea.
Well, because there was all of the cover-up and the hiding, right? If he'd had a moment like he was so nervous, he's under his parents' roof, the pandemic, and he wants to do good, and he made up a lie and he got caught and he killed him in a moment of insanity, right? Yeah. But then he went through all this other stuff, the ruse, and he had time to think clearly. And remember, he was like, no, they're at the lake house. And
It goes into premeditated and all that and planning. Yeah, all that. Yeah, that makes a big difference. Versus if I right now killed somebody, I have to get on the phone and say, I killed somebody. Please come and...
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, and then that helps you in the case versus you got to try to bury them and dismember them. Absolutely horrific. Yeah, so if anybody listening ever kills anybody, which I hope you don't.
Please don't.
Do not ever kill somebody, ever. But if you did, you put your hands up and you say, I did this. Throw yourself on the mercy of the court because the cover-up, I think in this instance, like you said, the cover-up is through the book at him even more than the action. It's the cover-up.
Well, maybe not more than the action in this instance, but...
Well, no. What I mean is that the action could have got him an insanity, could have gotten 10 years in an institution. The fact that it was not insanity, the fact that there was the cover-up, and here we are, a life sentence without parole.
Absolutely. He had the presence of mind to put together a plan, a bad plan, and thank goodness it was a bad plan, and it all came back on him. And they were not they're not off looking for somebody who doesn't exist. And he did it. That's like, that would have been the worst case. So, I think he got what he deserves. I'm happy to hear this. Now, after we did the episode, I was kind of watching, waiting for an update. He had COVID before the trial could start. And then he got over that. So they started the trial. But I think he'd waived his rights to even come to the court at all. So he'd never even spoken, didn't want to be there, but he wound up being there.
Yeah.
Because he had his little statement, which it was weird to watch the video with him. It's just like watching this stone cold killer it is really creepy, Sal.
And by the way, you and I, Jason, have talked about this on a previous case, and that is this thing which is new and news to me, where a person can decide not to be present at their own sentencing. I didn't even know that was an option. I thought you had to be there. Like, get over here. You know, what do you mean you don't want to be there? Get over here. You can not be present at your own sentencing, which I find quite interesting.
That was interesting that that's what they said. He waived his right, but then there he was. So I thought, well, maybe he has to come back for any future sentencing. But he knew the writing on the wall, Sal. But if you're not going to say anything, that's your chance. So again, this guy's just, he's accepted the fact of what he's done. He hasn't shown remorse. And he's probably thinking what his new life looks like. So why even bother? I mean, this guy's just checked out.
And I've forgotten about the brother. I don't know if we didn't cover that or it wasn't mentioned.
It was not mentioned.
Oh, my God.
When I came across, obviously, I thought there was family involved and that we weren't sure if grandparents were alive. I didn't know there was a brother and a fiance. It was not talked about.
That makes something horrible more horrible.
Even worse.
You
other
killed
people
your siblings' parents, your parents, and your siblings' parents. The siblings are suffering.
It's terrible.
Oh.
It's absolutely terrible.
It's like you take a tragedy. How can I make this tragedy more tragic?
Yeah, it's not as if his brother and fiance, soon to be wife, and maybe their future family are going to come visit Chandler in prison. I mean, that's it. He might as well be dead with his parents, right? That's just the path.
Would you go? Oh my God. If my brother, I'd have to just picture this for a second, as hard as it is. If my sibling were to kill our parent,
yeah,
Could I visit them in prison? I visit them in prison?
Could you forgive someone for doing that?
This is so terrible. So terrible. I didn't know this. The other variable of the sibling that really is very troubling.
Yeah, we only know of what they tell us. There could be more. We don't know. It could be a big family, but... Well, that covers the update of the man dismembered parents for discovering he didn't work at SpaceX in 2021. A tragic tale, a cautionary tale. I don't even know where to begin. I don't know if the parents even saw this coming. We don't know his backstory. We don't know if there was signs along the way. We just don't know, but it's tragic. And thank goodness Judge Hyland has put him away behind bars for good for now.
Yeah, because the next update would be if he got an early parole. That would be right. The next update. Oh, and I hope that's not the case. Yeah, because, you know, any true crime fan who has studied the genre, all the experts say, the profilers, they all say that if someone can commit something like this, there is no rehabilitation. The fact that you to go to this level, there's almost no hope for you.
Yeah.
That's not even me. You can study this yourself. They say it's kind of hopeless. If you can do such a thing, that's it. You're too far gone.
That's what I was going to say. Like, is he thinking about his life in prison now and what he'll just be doing to pass the time? Because rehabilitation, this guy, that's out the window. He's just looking at like what my life is.
Yeah. Learn a trade, as his grandmother said. Right? Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's all I got, Sam.
All right. Well, rest in peace to his parents. And very, very sorry to hear about his brother and the fiance having to suffer too.
And his grandmother.
Yeah.
And anybody and everybody who knew the parents. Very, very tough. So until the next crime, my friend.
Okay. All right. This has been interesting. And like I said, I appreciate updates as the co-host of That's a Crime, but also as a true crime aficionado and just a news reader. I appreciate updates. I want to know what becomes of these people, what happens to these people, and will they ever be next to me on a bus or on a subway ever again?
Let's hope not. Yeah, we probably have some more updates in store, and we will bring them to our audience, our fans, as we get the information.
Nice. I'm ready. Thank you.
So unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
And get 20% off and free shipping with the code THATSACRIME at manscaped.com.
So thank you so much for listening, and please be sure to subscribe to the That's a Crime podcast, as well as the That's a Crime YouTube live channel. You can also really help us by giving the show a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts.
And for all you listeners that enjoy sharing your thoughts, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, send us a direct message, or post a comment on any That's a Crime social media platform.
We also highly recommend checking out our other podcast and visiting justcuriousmedia.com.